Hello and welcome to another episode on Football Talk Podcast. My name is Ozzy and I'm your host for today's show. Only a few weeks remaining until the end of the season, but we're not any closer to knowing who will finish at the top and who will get relegated. 11 games were played during match week 35. So let's begin with Tottenham. And boy, what a terrible week it's been for Tottenham fans. Let's start with their recent game, and that was at Stamford Bridge. As you can see on the screen, the scoreline, Chelsea 2, Tottenham 0. What a result for the Blues. I'm sure the victory gives the fans some bragging rights against their London rivals. The game started where Chelsea should have been in the lead, to be fair. Mudryk hits a through ball. Jackson gets on the end of it, applies a first-time shot. Vicario saves it, but it's cleared off the line by Van der Ven. But his clearance hits Cole Palmer, who wasn't able to guide the ball. They end up going over the bar. For me, he should have scored, as it was pretty much an open goal from a few yards out. Madueke has a shot from the edge of the box that just goes over the bar for Chelsea. But it was Trevor Scholabar who scores from a set piece. It was a looping header. Brilliant header from the defender. Romero almost equalizes for Spurs with a header, but the ball hits the outside of the post. But Chelsea clinched the winner as Cole Palmer hits a fantastic free kick that rattles the crossbar. Jackson is there first to react and scores a header from the rebound. That defeat certainly hurt the Spurs fans, but probably not as bad as the earlier fixture last weekend in the North London Derby. It was a five-goal thriller at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And in the end, North London was red. The first goal, lovely hit corner from Saka on that right-hand side, flashes towards the danger zone. But unfortunately for Spurs, Emil Højbjerg tries to nod the ball away, but ends up hitting the back of his own net. Romero almost gets the equaliser, but just like the Chelsea game, he hits the woodwork once again. Van der Ven eventually hits the back of the net. But unfortunately, the goal was ruled out by VAR for offside. And to make it worse, Arsenal then make it 2-0 from a counter-attack. Lovely pass from Havertz on that left-hand side across to Saka, who's three on goal and finishes clinically. Arsenal then make it 3-0, and this time Havertz gets himself on the score sheet with a close-range header. The Gunners are steamrolling Spurs, and this looks like it's going to be an easy victory. But Spurs showed a bit of fight towards the end of the game. Raya makes a complete hash of his clearance, gives the ball to Romero, who this time is able to convert his shot into a goal. Spurs were then awarded a penalty as Declan Rice hits the back of Ben Davis's thigh. Heung-min Son steps up and smashes it in the top corner. But unfortunately, at that stage, it was too little, too late. Spurs have lost three back-to-back games against Newcastle, Arsenal and Chelsea. So it's not looking good with regards to claiming fourth spot this season. In Spursy fashion, it seems like they've bottled it once again. Next fixture, Nottingham Forest versus Man City, which ended 2-0 to City. Forest started the game very positively, but unfortunately, they were trailing in the 32nd minute as Kevin De Bruyne hits a lovely corner kick and Guardiola applies a headed finish to give City the lead, a bullet header from the defender. Chris Wood has a chance from close range to equalise for Forest, but he completely miscues his finish. Forest were persistent and tried to their best to get the equaliser. Murillo almost scores from close range off a set piece. Alanga hits a low cross towards Chris Wood. Unfortunately, his shot was blocked from close range. But it was the serial assassin, Erling Haaland, that makes it 2-0 with a nice finish with his right foot. And that goal pretty much killed the game and awarded City with yet again another victory. City are now second in the league, only 1 point away with a game in hand. Next game. A game that I would probably like to forget about, but here we are. So let's discuss the key moments. West Ham 2, Liverpool 2. First half, not much between the team, to be fair. Diaz hits the post for Liverpool. That was their best chance in the game. Jarrod Bowen hits a low shot that was parried away by Alisson. But credit to West Ham. They were very quick to react. They took a quick corner. Bowen breaks the deadlock. Defenders were asleep. Bowen leaps in the air and nods the ball into the corner. So at that stage, I'm thinking Liverpool need to make some changes, but Klopp stuck to his guns and brought out the same personnel in the second half. But it was a positive start for Liverpool as they brought the deadlock very early on their side. Robertson makes it 1-1, scoring from close range. And then Liverpool took the lead with some fortune as Gakpo hits a shot from a corner, hits a few West Ham players and somehow finds his way into the back of the net. But then Liverpool were hit with a blow as Antonio leaps in the air to head it home to make it 2-2. Unfortunately, the game was overshadowed with the spat between Mohamed Salah and Klopp. My thoughts in that whole incident was the fact that Salah shouldn't behave the way he did on the pitch. There's no reason for you to have a go at your manager on the touchline. There's some discussions you should always do behind closed doors. I think that was the moment. But having said that, it probably just came from an emotional point of view where, number one, he didn't start the game. But number two, I thought personally Salah should have been brought on a lot earlier than he was. He came on around the 70-odd minutes. So he only played 15 minutes of the game. So the timing of the substitution for me wasn't right on Klopp's side. And in my opinion, he actually should have been brought on at halftime. But, you know, they've resolved their issues and, you know, we move on from that incident. But during the game, bizarrely, there was a moment where Areola throws the ball away for a goal kick. By the letter of the law, that means the play is active. Gakpo tries to run to get on the end of the ball. The ref blows the whistle before he gets there and for some reason calls the West Ham medics to check on the goalkeeper. Now, there was an incident where the keeper was found but didn't receive treatment at that moment. So, bizarrely, the ref calls further sort of assistance or asks the medics to come on the pitch. Now, for me, the referee has made a complete hash of it. If only Gakpo had hit the back of the net, maybe there would have been a talking point as VAR would have had to review the incident further. But hey, you can't really rely on VAR nowadays. I can't but feel a bit robbed by that moment as it was a goal scoring opportunity that we should have capitalised and it was pretty much a tap-in. But hey, I wouldn't blame Gakpo as he played by the whistle, I guess. But these referees are so amateur in the Premier League. It's unbelievable. But hey, back to the game. Liverpool had a last moment to try and clinch the winner as Harvey Elliott hits the crossbar. And unfortunately, that was the end of the game. So overall, I'd probably say it's a fair result as West Ham showed some good moments in the game. But at the same time, Liverpool had plenty of chances to kill the game and were unable to do so. But hey, as I mentioned earlier, moving on, Liverpool face Tottenham this Sunday at Anfield. A big game for both teams who are not in good form, to say the least. Next game, Aston Villa versus Chelsea, which ended 2-2. This was Chelsea's second fixture in match week 35, and they almost made a comeback to claim the win, but they had to settle for a draw in the end. Villa opened the scoreline as McGinn hits a shot in the six-yard box, end up hitting Cucurella on the way in. Scrappy goal, but Villa were 1-0 up. Villa then make it 2-0 through Rodgers. A fantastic strike. Low shot in the near post. Rodgers does the cold Palmer celebration, which he claims he did it first, as both players used to play for Man City. But regardless, a great finish from the attacker. Chelsea then make it 2-1 after Madueke hits a clean left-foot strike into the bottom corner from outside the box. So the game was on from there on. Gallagher then equalised with a fantastic left-footed curler. Literally the same position that Madueke just scored moments before. And in crazy fashion, Di Sassi hits the back of the net from a set piece. Chelsea fans thought they got the winner, but unfortunately the goal was ruled out as Badiashile nudges Diego Carlos before the ball arrived in the six-yard box. So, yeah, unfortunately, it was a bit of an obvious nudge to the defender. So the goal was chalked off. A win and a draw for Chelsea in this match week. They've moved up to eighth position, which is quite a turnaround as they're not far from finishing in a position where they could qualify for European football next season. Villa, on the other hand, are in fourth place, 7 points clear from Tottenham, who are their nearest challengers in fifth place. So it's safe to say that they will qualify for Champions League football next season, which is a remarkable achievement for Unai Emery and his boys. In other fixtures, Manchester United 1, Burnley 1. This United team are a mixed bag, aren't they? They get one good result and collapse in the follow-up. And I have to say, United were quite fortunate to even get a point, as Onana was kept busy in this game. But United took the lead through an Antony finish. Then moments later, Onana applies the flying elbow on Amdouni in the box, and a penalty was awarded. What was Onana thinking? That elbow was something Roman Reigns would be proud of. Omdani steps up and slots it in very calmly into the bottom corner. For me, points dropped for the Red Devils. They're currently sixth with 54 points. Now, I just mentioned Chelsea earlier on. Chelsea are only 3 points away from United in the league. Now, imagine if Chelsea somehow finish above United. That would actually be a very embarrassing moment for United, and I'm all for it. Next fixture, Fulham versus Crystal Palace, which ended 1-1, a point apiece in South West London. My boy Muniz opens the scoreline for Fulham, scoring a header from close range. Nice cross from Castagna with the assist. Palace left it very late to get the equaliser, as it was Jeffrey Schlupp who scores an absolute screamer from the edge of the box. What a strike it was. Next game. Newcastle 5, Sheffield United 1. The Blades were destroyed by Newcastle yet again this season. But funny enough, it was actually Sheffield United who took the lead through Ahmedovic. Isaac equalises for Newcastle with a lovely finish from a tight angle. Speaking as a Liverpool fan, please Liverpool, bring this guy to the club this summer. I'm telling you, he's the one, because we need a clinical finisher in front of goal, and I feel like he's the man that can do the job for us. But back to this Newcastle game. Gomes makes it 2-1 for Newcastle with a diving header. Newcastle were then awarded the penalty after Holgate fouled Gordon in the box. Isaac steps up and finishes in style. He scored in 7 games in a row now. What a striker he has been for Newcastle this season. Ben Osborne scores an own goal to make the scoreline 4-1. And then Callum Wilson, who makes his return, scores the 5th goal for Newcastle, coming off the bench. The next fixture, Wolves versus Luton Town, which ended 2-1 to Wolves. Wolves finally got the first win after some weeks, to be fair. Hwang Hee-chan opens the scoreline with a nice effort from the left side. Totti then makes it 2-0 with a diving header. Luton managed to grab a consolation goal through a Carlton Morris volley. Unlucky for Luton to not get anything from the game. But I would say it's not over. 3 games still remaining, and they're only 1 point away from safety. So one team to look out for in terms of the relegation battle there. Next fixture, Everton versus Brentford, which finished 1-0 to Everton. Another win for the Toffees. That's 3 back-to-back wins. And that's also 3 clean sheets, which is a great start. Idris Gueye, who scored against Forest a couple of weeks ago, gets himself on the score sheet once again. And this time, he was the match winner to take all 3 points. Next fixture and final fixture, Bournemouth versus Brighton, which ended 3-0 to Bournemouth. The Cherries dominate and won the game in style against the Seagulls. They opened the scoreline through a Senesi header from close range. Unal makes it 2-0 with a fantastic leaping header. And Justin Kluivert makes it 3-0 after he smashes the ball into the back of the net with his left foot. Fun fact, Justin Kluivert has actually scored more Premier League goals than his father, Patrick Kluivert, former Barcelona striker, as I'm sure you're all aware. And for me, was one hell of a player and one of my favourite strikers of all time. So that is the end of our Match Week 35 review. Before we close the show, it's only right that I announce the FPL Manager of the Week, and that goes to Jeet Shah. His team is called Rolls Royce Reese, and he managed to gain 93 points. So well done to Jeet, who's now climbed up to 50th in the league. In terms of my performance, yeah, I'm ready to pack my bags. I got 47 points and have now dropped to 65th in the league. Abysmal from my side. But hey, before we wrap up, let's have a look at the table and see if there's any changes in the top 10. So let's share my screen now. So let's have a look. Look, there's not been much change in the top 6. As you can see, Jordan is still number 1. And you've got Tayo Cease, who's moved up from previous weeks. He's at number 2 right now. Joseph Harrison is at 3rd place. Anas is at 4th. Lebini Saka is fifth. Anish Dogra is sixth. Pipo Inzaghi has moved up to seventh in the league. Fortune Nana Sarri has dropped to eighth. Kojak De La Cruz, which I believe is a new name in the top 10, he's moved up to ninth. And we've got Jon Snow, who's also a new name. He's moved up to 10th in the league. So we've got two new entries in the top 10 with a few weeks remaining. Let's see how they do in the league. So yeah, so that is the top 10 of our FPL league. And that also concludes the show for today. So thank you to everyone for tuning in. If you haven't already, please don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe to the channel. In terms of upcoming shows, I'll be doing one literally in 5 minutes, as I will be doing the match preview of Liverpool versus Tottenham shortly after the show. This match takes place this Sunday. And speaking of Sunday, I will be doing a live watch along of that game at 4:20 p.m. UK time. And I'll be following up with a match reaction later in the same evening at 10 p.m. UK time. So best thing to do is hit that notification bell so you'll be notified of when I'm going live. And also follow me on social media for all the latest updates. You can follow me at AussieFTP on Twitter/X. And you can also follow me at Aussie.FTP on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. So until next time, guys, take care, stay safe, and I hope to see you all very, very shortly. Goodbye.